So we can see Sister Veronica and Sister Oti are not here because they are in Indonesia. So we pray for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. The aircraft was okay. The aircraft was okay. God is good. So last week, we looked at the Song of Solomon. Can you remember that? Song of Songs, which is the Song of Solomon. Can you still remember? What did the Shulamite say? She said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Yo, forgot the idea. You can always check it out again in the website. The link is there. I've been meditating on this verse, and I want to continue on the verse again, and don't worry, it's going to be good. Amen. Just want to bring to your remembrance what we mentioned in the beginning of what I shared last week. Remember I said that there are many generals Christian in the Christian world that have passed on, and then I said that there was this, I made a statement where importantly God does not judge on how gifted we are. Can you remember that? A person can be very gifted, but when you go to heaven, the gifts are from God. It's not that you are very gifted, then God will reward you, right? But God rewards us on how faithful we are. How do we steward the gifts? It's not how gifted we are. And we say that when we go up to the heaven, when we are up there, God looks at whether how much have we become love. Do you remember that? How much we have become love. You and I can become love. God wants you and me to become love. I'm not saying you and me, love. You become love. Why? Because God is love. Am I right? God is love. Are you following me? God is love, and we want to become like Jesus. We also become love. I think I have shared with you last time about the vision by the late prophet Bob Jones, where he was caught up into heaven, and on the aisle, everyone entering into heaven. On the aisle, there'll be angels. I think I cannot recall, was it angel or Jesus will be asking everyone the same question. Have you learned to love? Earth is the best place for you and I to learn to love. Let's jump into 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have the description of the love of God. It's not something that is strange to any of us. This is a familiar description. If you have your Bible, can you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. It's okay, even if our young boy there has... He's resting in the presence of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, the Father. Amen. It's good, right? He gets healed and restored inside. Do you have 1 Corinthians, everyone?
Yes.
Verse?
4-7.
Verse 4-7, chapter?
13.
Let's read together in whatever version, in whatever language you are accustomed to. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Is it a beautiful description of God's love? Is it beautiful? Hello?
Yes.
Who wrote that? Apostle Paul, who wrote an epistle to the church in Corinth. He described, this one, no one can come up with such a beautiful, it's not a poem or anything, but by divine revelation and divine inspiration, Paul spoke of something heavenly and divine. Love is heavenly and divine. Amen. So we have that. The description, the characteristics, the nature, the attributes of love, right? And when I started just now, I said God is love and we want to become love. Agree? So love is, the first thing is patient. In my version it says, suffers long. Can suffer very long, patient.
Long suffering.
Long suffering. It's a, this, something that we do not use anymore in a English language, right? Long suffering doesn't sound very nice, right? Love is patient. Love suffers long and is kind. Does not envy. Does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. But if I change one little word there, it makes a very personal impact to your heart and my heart. Which is, if I change the word love to Jesus. Let's look at the verses again and read and replace the word love with Jesus. Are you ready? One, two, go. Jesus suffers long. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade itself. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus does not behave rudely. Jesus does not seek his own. Jesus is not provoked. Jesus thinks no evil. Jesus does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Is it beautiful? Just now we sing Jesus, beautiful Savior. How can he be beautiful? But when we read all these attributes, this is who Jesus is. Amen. Are you following me? Because God is love. Is it wrong for me to replace love with Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. Is it wrong? It's not heretical, right? It's not wrong, right? It's a description of love. It's a description of God. It's a description of Jesus. Amen. And what did I say just now? I said that we are also to become love. Wow. Are you ready for the next step? Don't put love. Don't replace love with the name of Jesus. Replace love with your name. Don't go and use other people's name. Pretend you go and read Joseph. Go and read Jacob's name there. Do you have a name? Everyone has a name, right? Put the name there now. Are you ready? Read verses 4 to 7. Put your name instead of love. One, two, go. Benjamin suffers long, is kind. Benjamin does not envy. Benjamin does not parade itself. Benjamin is not puffed up. Benjamin does not behave rudely. Benjamin does not seek his own. Benjamin is not provoked. Benjamin thinks no evil. Benjamin does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Benjamin bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Wow. You're ready for heaven already.
That never fails.
Hallelujah. Do you see that? Can we honestly, sincerely say that is true in our life? How many can say, just lift your hands, you are ready for heaven? Huh? You do not parade yourself. You are not puffed up. You don't behave rudely. You don't seek your own. You are not provoked. You think no evil. Wow. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? You said become love. There is a description. You can define one. It's not something abstract. Oh, we must become love. How? Fluffy love, is it? The type of mushy and romantic love? No.
Puppy love.
Puppy love or cat love, kitten love. But it is something very tangible. You can talk about it. Wow. In 1 John chapter 4, shall we now turn to 1 John chapter 4? If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 16, it is very clearly stated there that God is love. Okay? Just to give you the biblical reference, the foundation that truly God is love. 1 John chapter 4. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, in verse 8 and in verse 16, you will see the reference that God is love. Alright? Do you see that? But we'll go to it. Before we go there, you look at 1 John chapter 4. If you have found 1 John chapter 4, say amen.
Amen.
Let's look at verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. My brothers, my sisters, he who does not love does not know God. You can graduate with a theological doctorate. You can be serving in the poorest mission country. You can be doing, you can give offering of the most amount. You can offer yourself sacrifice a lot. If you do not love, you cannot claim to know God. Is it clear? In verse 7 and verse 8, it is very clear that only those who love know God. So love is a measurement of a knowledge of God. So knowledge of God is not merely obtained by how much you study, how many sermons you hear, how well you and I serve God, how great our gift or ministry is, but it is measured by love. And further in verse 12, John, the apostle of love, he went on to say in verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If, you see, it doesn't say when. So not everyone does this. If we love one another, God abides in us. God abides in us. If you want to know God, we must love. Say amen. If you want to live in God, abide in God, we must. Is it just love? No, he went one step further. We must love one another. You must, you and I must love one another. Then we live in love. And Jesus said it in the Gospels, remember? He said, you want to become like me? I'm the master. You are the disciples. Remember that? We are all the students of Jesus, right? Jesus is our master. But how do people know you are the disciple of Jesus? Jesus said you have to love one another. When you love one another, hello, look here very carefully. If you love one another, you abide in God. You live in God. And others will see you are his disciples. Do you catch that or not? So, if you go outside, you do business, you work, or you go shopping mall, or you do anything outside, you don't always have Christians with you, right? You don't go in one group all the time. 10 people, 20 people. Then everyone always hug and go. To show that we love one another. Then people say, disciple of Jesus, disciple of Jesus. Correct or not? What this verse is telling us, when you and I, when we practice love one for another, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, we are told that we abide in God. Abide means we are inside God. When you are inside God, something of God is manifested. Isn't this the disciple of Jesus? Remember? In the book of Acts, the people, they saw the disciples of Jesus. They didn't wear, I am a disciple. They didn't wear any nice t-shirt. They didn't wear a cross. But they say, this man has been with Jesus. They abide in Jesus. How does that quality come about? When we love one another. If we are outside in the world, people can see that you are a disciple. That means you are living in God. You love one another. We'll go a little deeper later. But do you catch this? Amen. Do you see that or not? When you love one another, you abide in God, something of God is manifested. People can see something of Jesus. You're the disciple, you're the teacher. something of the master is reflected because you abide in him, and what people see is not yourself anymore. People see master, people see Jesus in you. It doesn't come from any special meditation or anything. It comes when you love one another, which tells us loving one another, number one, is not automatic, right? And number two, it's not easy. If it is easy, everyone will be manifesting that. You step into the coffee shop and say, hey, disciple of Jesus. That means same like Jesus, same like the master. Amen. How do you live in God? You love one another. In verse 16, it tells us another thing. Verse 16, we have known and believed the love of God. Believe the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. If you put all these verses together, you and I cannot love one another if you and I do not abide in love. So John gives us the key. You want to abide in God? You abide in love. When you abide in love, you are able, you have the capacity to love one another. Do you catch it? You must first abide in love. You must abide, you must live in the realm of love. When you live in the realm of love, you have the love to love one another. And when you have the love for one another, and when you abide in that realm of love, you abide in God, and God abide in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us. How do we know we abide in him, and he abides with us? Verse 13. Because he has given us his spirit. Is it the same as my version?
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere. If you follow me closely, I'm building up to a theme to show us God is love. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. Do you see that? How do I know I abide in God, God in me? In verse 13, it tells me, because he has given us his Spirit. We cannot abide in love. We cannot abide in God. We cannot have God abide in us if there is no Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is very important. The Spirit of God is paramount. Not just in power. We always say, you know, when we pray for the Holy Spirit, we want the Holy Spirit to move. We think about power. We think about signs, wonders, and miracles. Not wrong. That's one facet of the Holy Spirit. But here, it shows us very clearly. Love. If you want love, if you need love, if you want to abide in love, if you want to love other people, how much you and I need the Holy Spirit. Because he's a Spirit of love. So when we sing just now, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. What do you want the Holy Spirit to do? When he comes, he's always the Spirit of love. Amen. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, let me read to you. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit was given to us. So you want the love of God in your heart? Can only be done by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit pour out his love. We always pray, God, send your Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be in this place. For what? God will pour out his love through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. Amen. Amen. Do you catch the picture? You want to abide in God? You want to abide in love? You want to love one another? How much you and I need the Holy Spirit. One last verse to reinforce this truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Many people say there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Do you agree with me? There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 gifts, right? And many people also say there are 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. Correct? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You'll be shocked Because many times people make this grammatical error. When they say the fruit of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit, they always say fruits. Because in our mind it is nine. Nine gifts, nine fruits, right? But if you look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, it says the fruit is a singular word. Do you have your Bible? I'm not bluffing you, right? It says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Yeah. From Sunday school, we do that, right? Even I think my daughter may can sing the song Love, Joy, Peace. And I think Fruit of the Spirit, there's a song, right? We will start Love, Joy, Peace and all that. Even if it's just one fruit, what if you change the way you think and the fruit of the Spirit is only one, love? The other eight are just the characteristics, the features of love. Wow. Correct or not? Just now we read love is patient, love is kind, love is, and all that. Check and see. Is it consistent? Yes. With the fruit. If the fruit of our spirit is just love, when you have love, you will have joy. You will have peace. You will have long-suffering. Long-suffering is love, right? Just now we say love is patient. Amen. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. What if the fruit of the spirit is just one? Love. And the rest are just the characteristics. This morning, I'm sure you get a lot of WhatsApp messages, right? No? Or what happened in Christchurch, New Zealand? Huh? I think you also get the video. When you saw the video, you'll be shocked. It's like people playing video games. The person, the murderer who went into a mosque in New Zealand, he live streamed what he did. He was driving. Then he went into the mosque, then he took the gun. He went to two mosques, he killed 49 people.
Mosque.
It's a white man, and he said he wants to get rid of all these people who invaded New Zealand. Christchurch is a place in New Zealand. When you saw it, it's like a video game. People play video game like, then all day, right? It's exactly the same. I think he wears a camera.
Right?
So live on. Live, they stream it live. He stream it live. Don't go and look for it, okay? Now it's banned. Now the video is banned. Malaysia does not allow it. YouTube also does not allow it anymore. Because it's not good. Why do we promote this? It releases a spirit of violence. But it gives us a hint of, you know, anything can happen. Correct or not? And how much you and I need peace in such times, in the last days. You may say, this is so far New Zealand. Anything can happen. A few days ago, they caught so many terrorists hiding in Malaysia. Really? Correct or not? And they say, they reviewed that the terrorists plan terrorist attack abroad and also locally. So, in such days, how much we need peace, we need joy. How does it come from? Galatians 5:22, if you have love, you will have peace, you will have joy. How to get the love? How to get the love? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. You abide in God, abide in love. How does that happen? We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I go back to one verse, then we will proceed very fast again, okay? I go back to 1 John chapter 4 verse 12. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 12, I purposely did not read the second part of it because I want to emphasize on it now. In verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. That's what I say, right? You love one another, God abides in us. Look at what is the next verse. It says, and his love is made complete or has been perfected in us. Hello? We are to become love, right? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. We always say, Holy Spirit, work in my life. What is the work that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, in my life? Perfecting the love of God. In your heart, in my heart. Do you catch that? Hello? 1 John chapter 4 verse 12, it says, and his love is being perfected in us. The Holy Spirit working in us. The importance of the work of the Holy Spirit is perfecting the love in us so that we become love. Have we become love? Just now you replaced your name in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Have we? Huh? Just now Brother Alex says it's susah lah, kan? Of course it's susah. But the Holy Spirit is working in us to perfect it. To perfect love. In 1 John 4 verse 12. I read to you Matthew chapter 5. That's why when Jesus came to this world and he introduced the kingdom of heaven. Hello? When he introduced the kingdom of heaven, he began to tell many things that are so strange. Even the Pharisees all cannot get it. In Matthew chapter 5, let me read to you from verse 43 to verse 48. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy." Normal, like all Jews, they practice that. Just love your neighbor, good enough, right? Hate your enemy. Verse 44, "But I say to you," he comes and he brings heavenly culture, heavenly value and say, "But now I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you." Mana boleh? Lagi susah. Correct or not? Jesus comes, he didn't only tell you about the Old Testament, then tell you about what normal people do. He gives you a higher standard. Not just love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but in verse 44 it says, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you." Do you? People use you, do you pray for them? Begila, you curse them, right? People use you, no? Jesus expects that people will use you. Are you happy to be used or not? We don't learn, right? We say use money, love people, right? Not use people, love money. Correct or not? We don't use people, right? Alex, you are very free, huh? Do this, do that. Use only.
Make use,
right? Then you feel very hurt. Wow, this pastor always use me, huh?
I use you, Lord.
No. Correct or not? That's our thing. Very cool. Thank you. That's a perfect illustration. Oh. You use me, I use you.
I love you.
Correct. That's why Jesus said, exemplified. We have a very sincere brother, right? You love me, I love him. You use me, I use you back. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. That is the worldly value. Am I right? But Jesus came and he said something else. He said, those who use you, you pray for them. Have you ever heard this teaching in a church? Go on, huh? Just one sermon to talk about praying for those who use you. Oh, very hard, right? We can preach 100 sermons about this, but the question is, do we do it? This is what Jesus said. No one has said, not other people. Jesus came from heaven. He looked around, he said, okay, all these people, you love me, I love you. You use me, I use you. But here Jesus say, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and send rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, Jesus read your mind. For you, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Wow, Jesus is good, huh? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Now, focus on the last verse there, 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, just now I said, the love is perfected in us. When Jesus says all this, love your enemies, pray for those who use you, and all that, and then he's ended by saying, be perfect. What was Jesus implying? Let your love be perfect. When your love is perfect, you are perfect. And Jesus, when Jesus said something, he's not just entertaining, give you a carrot, there, you cannot catch one, right? See, always read, come, be perfect, that you cannot get. When Jesus said that, every word that comes from him, it came with an impartation for us to be able to realize it in our lives. If he asks you to be perfect and you cannot be perfect, that is a very mean person, right? I know you cannot do it, but I see a person handicapped, cannot walk until here. If a person who is on a wheelchair cannot act here, I say, come, I give you 1 million. I give you 1 million. Come and walk here. No, walk here. You know that he cannot walk here. And he said, come, come, I give you 1 million. You can walk here. Jesus is not that cruel. When he said, you can be perfect, when he says, be perfect, it means you and I can be perfect. Amen. Your love can be perfect. Amen. How does that happen? How does that happen? The Holy Spirit. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Too often we just focus on the Holy Spirit as being a power spirit. Why not we call the Holy Spirit just power spirit? But like in Bahasa, it's Rohul Kudus. It's holy. It's character. Amazing, right? We always associate just power with the Spirit of God. It's a Holy Spirit. It is a spirit of love. It is an attribute of God. When you look at all this and everything that happens in your life and my life, that Holy Spirit works in your life and my life, is for you and I to learn to love. Everything takes on a different perspective. Many phrases in the Bible concerning the work of the Holy Spirit suddenly takes on a different dimension. Let me show you. We say we want to be led by the Spirit, correct? In the context of the Spirit of love working in us, what does that mean? To be led by the Spirit. Suddenly, we see a different facet and additional dimension. Being led by the Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you to love other people, to love someone that is not worthy to be loved. Wait. Something different. If we know that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love, and our mission in life is to become love, and the love of God to be perfected inside us. To be led by the Spirit is not just to do the things that He wants us to do. To be led by the Spirit to do the things that He wants to do means to love. God leads you to someone nasty. God leads you to someone not cute. Cute one, we love, right? Sure, love one. If someone is cute, sure, deserving of love. Correct. But when we see led by the Spirit to release love. Wow, now do you want to learn to be led by the Spirit? Don't want, better don't be led by the Spirit, right? Led by the Spirit to release love to those difficult for us to love. It's not easy. This means that God will put people around us that are not easy to love. Don't talk about all this. Talk about how to fulfill the destiny of God. Talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the Holy Spirit is working in your heart to perfect the love. How does He do that? He puts you around people that are not easy to love. You are led by the Spirit. Then you say, why am I in that sick situation? You have been praying, God, lead me, God, guide me. I will follow you. I want to learn to be sensitive. Oh, the more you are sensitive, you are led to people who are most not worthy to receive your love. Oh, put it like that. Funny, right? If I put it that way, I read something today which make me to think very differently. Sometimes we make our own judgment who deserves God's love and our love. We judge, this person, don't deserve God's love. Hey, this person, don't deserve my love. And when the Holy Spirit leads us to someone to release the love of God, and we think and we make the judgment, this person don't deserve God's love. And you withdraw the love of God and you don't release it, inside us is shut down. We stop abiding in love. The love shuts down. You and I inside suddenly turn into darkness. Do you see that? I want to be led by the Spirit. God leads you to a person that is difficult to love.
"Ayah, this person don't deserve God's my love lah. If I love, he will not thank me. If I love, he will not even say thank you. He will not love me in return also. If I love, he will use me even more. Why I'm so stupid?" God also say, "Be wise," right? Well, we justify, right? God say, "Be wise. Why must I love this person? If I love him, he will make use of me. If I love her, it's not that he will give me back my love." You withdraw the love, even though the Lord led you to that sick person, you withdraw your love, part of you begins to be darkened. We have not learned to love. What was meant to be a perfect situation, led by the Spirit to release the love of God, we close up, we withheld the love of God. Then the Spirit cannot flow. You are led by the Spirit to release love. But because we judge that this person is unworthy of my love, unworthy of God's love, we withhold God's love. And we enter into a degree of darkness. We cannot. When there is darkness, we cannot see the way God sees anymore. We form our own judgment. We fall into a trap. Do you want to be led by the Spirit? When you are led by the Spirit, God may lead you to have people around you who is difficult to love. Otherwise, how to learn to love? If God put all the nice, cute, beautiful, handsome people around you, no need to learn one, automatic one. The person don't love you, you also go and learn, right? Learning means, right now, you ask my daughters, hey, where are my daughters? Oh, they are down there. Huh? You ask my daughter, how to learn mathematics? All the mathematics sums are more difficult, right? If it is very easy, do you need to learn? Correct? Becomes more difficult, then you learn the concepts of arithmetic. You learn what is? Whatever, differentiation, algebra, whatever. You learn because you don't know. You gotta practice. Mathematics, Chinese, all no one, right? No practice, you cannot score one. Mathematics, when I was young, my father said you either get 0 or get 100. There's no 99, there's no 88. Because mathematics is the only subject you can get 100. Any mistake you do is careless or you don't know. You don't know is 0 lah. Agree or not? Don't worry, I'm not good in mathematics. I'm okay lah. Otherwise, I would have been an engineer or actuary or... So do you want to be led by the Spirit? See the word led by the Spirit now takes on a different dimension. Let's take another one. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. Ayo. Now we take on a different dimension. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To walk in the realm of love. Jude tells us, keep yourself in the love of God. Means you can come out from the love of God, right? To walk in the Spirit means I walk in a reality, I walk in a realm of love. Oh, it's difficult. I realize it's difficult. Early in the morning, I will try to meditate on God's love. I wake up, I meditate on God's love. I begin to wait on God. And I sense the reality of God inside me. Then I begin to let the river of love to flow between God and myself. Then I will maintain that. One day, I will talk about waiting upon God. So, I will always try to maintain that flow. I love Jesus and the love of Jesus coming to me. I want to stay in that reality. Once I stay in that reality, that's what I do only. If I wake up, I hit that reality, I stay in that reality. If you ask me, I don't do a lot of things in my quiet time. I just stay in that reality. I let that love, the flow there. I just let that love continue to flow. After that, I go and sleep and I wake up again. Because I wake up early in the morning, then I go. Then I try to maintain that reality. It means I try to walk in the Spirit, walk in love. You go to office, suddenly, every other thing in the world that you face will try to get me out of this reality. Once I'm out of this, I'm no longer walking in love. I'm no longer walking in the Spirit. I'm no longer abiding in love. Everything tries to take my attention away, distract me,
take me out of this reality. So the war is, the battle is for me to not to be distracted, to maintain this flow, to walk in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I have that reality in me, I will not be I will not fall to the temptation around me. Because that reality is more real. But if I do not maintain, I don't guard my heart, I allow other things to steal my attention, to captivate me more than this reality, I'm out. I'm no longer walking in the Spirit. I'm not living in love. I'm not keeping myself in the love of God. So I give you a very practical example. You wake up early in the morning, you pray, you're happy. Maybe you don't think you have this flow or whatever, lah, but you're happy. Lah. You read God's word, or like Sister Sherry tells us, she has the experience, God speaks to her. You're very excited, you're very happy, right? Wake up tomorrow morning, wow, it's like you're in cloud, on cloud now, you're floating a bit, right? Yeah, your coffee also plain water also tastes like coffee, right? But it's like, oh, God is so good. Suddenly you got a WhatsApp, suddenly somebody calls you, tells you about other people's bad things. Immediately you're so angry at that person. You form judgment, you're not happy, you are beginning to become angry and bitter towards the person that you heard about. Once again, your heart becomes darkened. You have fallen into the trap and you become unconscious to the love of God. Do you see that or not? It happens every day in our lives. Whether WhatsApp, whether it's a call, whether it's a news, you can be very happy. That's why suddenly some people read the news this morning about the attack in the mosque. That can also rob them of their peace. You know, they immediately feel, oh, this is so scary. We are living in what kind of world? Do you see that? Walking in the Spirit now takes on an additional dimension, an additional facet. Being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, now takes on a different dimension. Hallelujah. Do you see that or not? If you want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, what He is doing in your life, what's the main important thing? That you become love. Then you begin to cooperate. How do I being led by the Spirit? These things happen to teach me how to love, so that I can learn how to love. We think that all these things are not important, right? We think that, I never mind, like, it's a personality clash. I'm not suitable with this person. It's a personality clash. But ask yourself, is it personality clash? Or is God giving you an opportunity to learn to love? Amen. Amen. Learning to love, become love. Led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, suddenly takes on a different and additional dimension in our lives. Hallelujah. So now, let's go back to Song of Solomon. This is what I have been meditating on, the verse 1 and verse 2. We have last week touched on Song of Solomon is called the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's song, right? And then in verse 2 we say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, which speaks about intimacy, right? Kiss of intimacy, like I shared last week. You have kiss of betrayal, Judas' kiss on the cheek, right? Judas' kiss on the cheek is a kiss of betrayal. You have the prodigal son, the father kiss on the neck, that's a kiss of forgiveness. You have the kiss of Mary on the feet. But this Shulamite say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It speaks of an intimate kiss. One person cannot kiss two person at the same time. Remember I said that? I don't know whether Alex can do better than that. I don't think nobody can do that. Lah. Kiss is a picture of only one to one. You cannot kiss three person at one time or two person at one time. So purposely the imagery of kiss is used because it is intimate. Shulamite longs for the kiss. This is a picture of a bride. We are called to be bride and Jesus is our bridegroom. Like I said last week, not everyone comes to this stage of longing and hunger in their walk with God. They are just satisfied with the general relationship with God. It's okay lah. They have not come to a realization, I want something intimate, personal. I want to see Jesus. I want to experience Jesus. There's something I want more. Like I said, it must create a divine dissatisfaction inside you. Only then you are awakened. I want Jesus. To experience Jesus intimately. Amen. Then the Shulamite tells us, for your love is better than wine. Why does he long for this intimacy? Why does she long for this personal touch? Because he has tasted, the song we sing now, I have tasted and see the love of all loves, right? Something like that, right? The Shulamite has tasted the love is better than wine. Can you remember that? Last week we looked at that. Hello? Yes? I say that wine is something pleasurable. Wine speaks of blessing and pleasure. So the Shulamite discovered that the love that he experienced is much more delightful than the blessing and pleasures of this world. The modern day Christianity, I was talking to someone, the modern day Christianity is just satisfied with getting my answers, getting my prayer answered, right? Being blessed by God, receiving something from God. Have we ever been awakened by the Spirit of God to know that, hey, I'm treating God like a vending machine. I'm treating God just like I come to church like a supermarket. Christianity has become a consumer-based organization. I come to be blessed. I come to have my prayer answered. Has it ever occurred to Christians who their God is? Can I know this God? Can I hear Him? Can I love Him? Can I experience His love? Most people is just, I have this need, I have this problem, answer my prayer. Hallelujah, I have testimony. Then another circle, I pray that there's no problem. Alamak, problem again. Then ask people, pray. I pray. Okay, receive answer. Praise the Lord, another testimony. It's all about this, right? But is it all about this? It's more than this. Amen. It's more than this. That's why many people, when they look at this allegory, this picture of bridal relationship with Jesus, as shown in the Song of Solomon, it should excite and stir up a hunger in our hearts that we can have a deeper walk, deeper knowledge of God intimately, not just intellectually, but something you experience. You cannot intellectually kiss someone, right? It is something you experience. Someone kiss you or someone don't kiss you, you know one, right? Can you say, I'm not sure whether he kissed me or not? Can you say that? I'm not sure whether he kissed me or not, I'm not sure. It doesn't work that way, right? You feel it in your lips. It's true whether you got kissed or not. I'm not sure whether kiss or not. It's something tangible. And God is calling us to this bridal relationship. So this evening, I want to look again at this verse that I have been meditating. It says, for your love is better than wine. One of the way Holy Spirit work in us is that something will happen in some circumstances in our lives to cause us to realize your love is, what is the keyword? Better than wine. Why? We still haven't realized that. For those who do not have money, who always struggle with finances, they will always say, wait, I get more money first. Right now. For those who have a lot of money, I get power first. Or my prayer is answered first. But God will allow life circumstances to cause us to refocus on what is truly important. What is truly better than all the things that we ask in life. All the things we want in life. Oh, my children, the future, house, things of this world. Suddenly you're met with a life-threatening situation in your life.
you encounter something that will either make you live or die. Then suddenly you think, hey, what is important in my life? What is truly important? Correct or not? If you are given just 10 days to live, suddenly you say, hey, why I go and waste my time? Huh? If you have 10 days to live, I finish some. You won't be telling me I want to finish all the Korean episodes. Later die, they cannot watch. Hey, a bit cuckoo, right? Then you suddenly say, hey, take, you want my television, take, what is more important now? Correct or not? God will arrange, God will allow circumstances in your life. Suddenly you will realize what is more important. You will then refocus. And this Shulamite discovered your love. Your love. God's love. If I know that I am to become love, that God is working to perfect the love inside me, God's love is better than other pursuits. I need to refocus now. Let me focus on God's love. Correct or not? Let me focus on God's love. How I can abide in His love. How I can love God. How I can love one another. How my love, the love inside me can be perfected. You say, are you sure or not? Hello? That's the first and greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor like yourself. Let me focus on what is most important. Love. And the Shulamite realized, your love is better. Don't wait until something happens to that, you know, I'm left with, doctor give me only 3 months. Don't wait until like that. Now we can decide to refocus what is important. Amen. Amen. To refocus on what is important. The Shulamite tells us, your love. What is better? God's love. Stay in the love of God. Because once you are in the love of God, whatever you do flows from the love of God, is in the will of God, fulfills the will of God, is coupled with the strength of God, with the gifting of God. If you do a lot of things, Paul said, right, you can do many things. If there is no love, it's empty, like an empty gong. So let's refocus, reprioritize. What is your search? What is your focus? What is your emphasis in your Christian walk? Love. You have it, you don't have it. If you and I don't have it, let it be a turning point in our lives. Hey, what is more important? I can do all these things, but there's no love. It counts zero, you know. You cannot go to heaven and argue with the angel. Hey, I do so many good things, you didn't record. You say, no, in the book really zero. Then you shake the angel very hard. Hey, wake up, angel. I did so many good things in the church. You mean you didn't record? No. Because you didn't do with love. You can do a lot. I can start church, can go missions, can do all kinds of things to gain something, to get validation. A lot of people are in the ministry to get validation. What does validation mean? To get acceptance.
Recognition. Certified.
To get satisfaction.
Certified.
Well, all of you know more than me. The place is the love of God. If I am in the love of God, then ministry, I once got a very powerful prophecy. Most people wouldn't like this prophecy because it's got nothing, but it's a very powerful ministry. He said, your ministry is, I'm so excited, my heart beat very fast. This was many years ago. We want to know what our ministry is, right? So the prophet, I hear the recording, your ministry is living and breathing. That's your ministry. Breathing and living every day, that's your ministry. I got it. If I am in the love of God, whatever I do is my ministry. I live, I breathe. I go out. I wash the toilet. That's my ministry.
I am so thankful I got that prophecy. Of course, there are many other prophecies. Say, you do this great thing, do that great thing. But I find that one is the most powerful prophecy I have. Your ministry, I go back and check in the word for you. It says something like, it's living and breathing every day. Something like that. Living and breathing every day.
Simple.
It is true. Your ministry, my ministry, is living, breathing. Not wait until you start a church, have a ministry, people call you pastor, start prophesying, do signs, wonder, miracle, go missions. No. Wherever you are, you breathe, you live. That's your ministry. If you have love, whatever you do, turns into ministry. Amen. A person who fried char kway teow, fried with the love of God, the char kway teow is very anointed, people eat sure heal. That's the ministry. Correct or not? Cannot be that the char kway teow say, I quickly fry, I want to go to the meeting and minister. The char kway teow is his ministry. Every day he anoint himself. Anoint. Correct or not? That's what the farmers do. They take their hands, they lay hands on the ground. The whatever that comes out, the produce that comes out from the ground, triple the size. Correct or not? They lay hands in Jesus' name. Grow, bless the ground. That's ministry. Come out, the chili is so big one. Then will they be proud? This is Alex brand of chili. Cannot be proud. What? He knows. He knows it's not him. Then people say, hey, you, how do you do that? I don't know. Give me the formula. What's the formula? What fertilizer? I don't know. I pray. It happened. That's ministry. Living, breathing every day. Whatever you do.
Use your hand.
Then people think it's your hand. Then they go and do, hey, it cannot happen, man. It's not your hand. Correct or not? Do you see that? Living and breathing, whatever you do, you cell phone or whatever you do, wash the toilet, sweep the floor. Do you think if God saved, if the revival hit the town, everybody becomes a Christian? Even the janitor also becomes Christian. You mean everybody run to the seminary so nobody sweep the floor anymore? No, right? From a non-Christian janitor becomes a Christian janitor. He's got it. Next day, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Correct or not? Correct or not? Does he have to go and go to the seminary? No. He lives, he breathes, that's his ministry. If he has love. Because he can do all kinds of things, no love, no ministry also. Amen. So the Shulamite say, your love. Now I realize your love is better. And today I want to focus, the next one I want to focus is better than wine. Very strange, very poetic, yet very strange. Why choose wine? Why didn't say your love is better than chariot, than horse? No, your love is better than cars, than guitar. I use wine for a purpose. For a purpose. You saw the e-flyer I sent out, right? Spiritual intoxication. Wine can can cause intoxication, right? What is it? Can make you feel giddy, can make you feel drunk, right?
Can bring you to another realm.
Can bring you to another realm. Today, Brother Alex can be the preacher today. So the purpose that the Shulamite said, your love is better than wine. She is not discounting wine. She is saying this quality of love is a higher quality of wine. You have the love of God, like Brother Alex said, you can enter into another realm. Wine will take you to the dark realm. God's love will take you to the bright realm. Wine can make you drunk. Amen. This is the same in the New Testament, right, Brother Benjamin? Do not be drowned with wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. Correct. Why Paul used wine? Because when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you are like drinking wine. People don't know you anymore. You are suddenly so courageous. People who drink wine, right? Lim, lim, lim. Then they come out already, different person, or they come out like very daring. Hello! Benji! Whole day never call Benji before. Suddenly different person.
bold lah, courage lah. And when the Spirit of God is upon you, you will become a witness. Hey, Benji! Hello! What happened?
The wine!
The wine! When you are filled with the love of God, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love.
Hey, serious or not, whatever you say. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost come, the tongues fell, the Holy Spirit came down. People say, hey you, these people are drunk with wine. Peter came out.
How can they be drunk with wine? Check the time, nobody drink wine at such an hour. These people are drunk. Why today not so many people drunk? Because we fail to recognize God's love is better than wine. There is a higher quality of wine called God's love, not XO or whatever lah. not Jack Daniels. It's Jesus Christ's love. Amen. And when why do people drink wine? I think you have a lot of songs on that, right? To forget all my worries, I drink. Correct or not? When people are so stressed, they go for happy hour. All the fears go away. All the worries go away. You drink the love of Jesus. All your worries go away. Your fears will go away. Perfect love casts out fear. The world out there don't know. They keep drinking wine of the world. But the world inside here also don't know. We want what they want. When we have what they don't have. The Shulamite say, your love is better than wine. It is purposeful. It was intentional that the word wine was used. Correct not? It has healing property. Paul wrote to Timothy, drink some wine, you are weak. Wine can heal. And that's why some people say, drink a bit of wine every day, your heart also very strong. Correct not? Wine has medicinal values if you don't take too much. The love of God heals us. Many of our physical illness is a reflection of our soul's condition. Some people got breast cancer because they have spirit of rejection. For example, this is not a doctrine. People say every time breast cancer is spirit of rejection. No, it's not a doctrine. But a lot of illness has a root in a soul deficiency. Rejection, bitterness, all kinds of things. When it becomes very bad, it will come out in your body as a sickness. Unforgiveness, all that. But when you have the love of God, God heals your soul and your body will be healed. Amen. Amen. The wine has anesthetic value. It takes away your pain, your worries, your fears. It has healing properties. Many people always struggle with pain, with bitterness, with hurt, with the past. Why? You are not drinking the love of God. I accidentally told you. Why they use wine? Number one is to compare what is the natural wine, right? Number two, it's a drink. Wine is a drink, right? Do you take the wine and inject wine? No. How do people consume wine? Drinking, right? Hello? Hey, why y'all look at me like that? How do y'all drink wine? How do y'all drink wine?
Drinking.
Drink, right?
God's love can be consumed. God's love is not abstract, is not intellectual. God's love is a substance that you can consume. Do you see that? That's the reason the Shulamite compare love and wine. One is all the good properties of wine, but it does not leave you with the bad things. Some people drink wine tomorrow, hangover, right?
Is it hang up? What do you call it? Hangover or whatever, right? Tomorrow cannot work. This one you drink the love of Jesus, tomorrow work better. Okay. Not tomorrow wake up then headache already, right? You don't have all the bad things associated with wine, but you have all the good things. That's why it says your love is better than wine. And he uses the metaphor of wine because it's a drink. It's consumable. You can partake inside. So love is not just, okay, lah, Jesus love me, Jesus love me. You can receive it. You get it? You can drink it in. Drink it in. The more you drink, the more you have it. How do you drink? Has anyone taught you how to drink when you're small? No, right? No, ask yourself. Has anybody taught you how to drink?
Buka mulut.
Huh? Buka mulut, right? Natural, right? A baby comes, huh? You give only the milk bottle. Huh? You place the baby rightly. The mother. No need to teach her, right? Nah. Baby, open your mouth. Suck. It's natural. What does that tell you? Let's end by looking at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." You see, Jesus, again, in the New Testament, used the metaphor of drinking. But he tells you the key to it. Number one, you must be thirsty. You're not thirsty. That day we were in a wildlife park. I think my daughters were trying to feed the ostrich. You put all the peanut all in. Then after it's full, he doesn't want to eat. You can put a lot. Keep eat. Shake. He doesn't want to eat. Not hungry already. Full already, right? Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, that's the thing. Do you have the thirst? When you have thirst, then you can drink. What else must you do if anyone thirsts? Number two, Benjamin, what is it? Let him
come.
Where? Come where?
Come to Jesus.
Let him come to Jesus. How do you drink the love of God? First, you must be thirsty. You must be hungry. You must find out that, ayo, all these things cannot satisfy. The love of God is better than everything else. Now you begin to be hungry. I tried pornography, I tried sex, I tried this, I tried everything. Then you say, I'm not happy. Then you realize, all these things are tak boleh pakai. I think there's something that will give me true satisfaction. Then you begin to be thirsty. What is it? You begin to pray. Thirsty doesn't mean I pray one time, nothing happened, don't want. Can you like that? You're so thirsty. You went to the vending machine, you put money in, the can doesn't come out. You just give up and walk away. If you are so thirsty, you're going to go and call your boss. Very thirsty here. Will you just forget about your thirstiness and say, "I never mind, let me continue with my work"? When you're thirsty, you will do whatever it takes, right? Correct or not? So thirst. Don't confuse thirst with curiosity. Some people just say, try lah. Can work. No. Don't work, then we just quietly go away. Jesus is not like that one. You are thirsty, you come and drink. In Isaiah it says, without money, come. Those who thirst, come and drink milk and wine. In Isaiah chapter, I cannot remember, verse 55 or 50. So here in John 7 verse 37, it says, if anyone thirsts, he must come to Jesus. You can be thirsty and you go to the preacher. Will you get? The preacher cannot feed you with wine. You see, no? Some people thirsty, they go to the preacher. I cannot give you. Jesus said, come to me. You come to Jesus. Amen. We don't look at the man. The man can be just an agent. And then drink. If you're thirsty, you come, you drink. How do I drink? Verse 38. If you believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. How do you drink? If you believe.
You drink by believing. You don't go and guess, how do I drink? Will God give me or not? Maybe God doesn't like me. You just believe. You are thirsty. You come to Jesus. You believe. You drink. Amen.
Amen.
How much all of us need the love of God in our hearts, in our lives. Amen. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring this awakening in your heart, in my mind. We don't have to wait for a life-threatening situation to happen in our life. Let us refocus our lives to know what is more important. The Shulamite tells us, love is more important. At the end of the day, when you become love, that's the greatest. Because when you have love, whatever you do is ministry. Whatever you do, count. Amen. Amen. And wine is pleasurable. Here Jesus is not asking you to do something not nice. Ayo, have to do this. It's wine. Wine gladdens the heart. When you have the love, you will surely have the joy of God. Amen. Shall we rise? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just want to take the communion and just let that today. Let's take communion today. What a better time to take communion than when we talk about the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the cross that Jesus died, that is the greatest evidence, the greatest demonstration of the love of God in our lives. There is no greater love than this, for a man to lay down his life for a friend. No greater love than this. So my brother, my sister, tonight as we partake communion, I want you to once again ask the Holy Spirit to take us to the cross. Take us to the cross and see Jesus dying for us there. That's the greatest love. And we can drink His love from there. Hallelujah. If everyone already has it, just hold it in your hands. We'll partake of it together. Okay, have you got it? I want you to just prepare your heart now, just in your own way, all of you, just close your eyes, talk to Jesus. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Do you desire the love of God? Do you know that, have you come to that awakening, that realization, that His love is better than wine? That the Holy Spirit all this while have been working to perfect His love in your heart, in my life. In your life, in my life. And today we can decide to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, it's not easy, but I want to learn to love. Those people that are so difficult to love, Lord, when I take that first step to love, I will surely come to this understanding. Your love is better than mine. Everybody holds the emblem in your hands. This is not just an emblem. It's the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Everyone has it? My brother, my sister, I want you to listen to me carefully. This bread that you hold in your hand is the body of Christ. Listen to me. This bread that you hold in your hand is the body of Christ, who was beaten, who was spat upon. This bread that you hold in your hand is the body of Christ, who was betrayed by His own disciple, who was wounded, who received all the beatings, the lashes. My brother, my sister, the bread that you hold in your hand is the body of Christ that suffered all this unfair and cruel treatment. And listen to me carefully. Every cell in the body of Christ receiving all this unjust treatment, every cell inside him cries out, love, 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 forgive, forgive, forgive. The Bible says, do not take it unworthy in an unworthy manner. Do you know what body are we partaking tonight? It is the body that suffered betrayal, suffered injustice, suffered pain, suffered persecution, suffered all kinds of cruel, unjust treatment. And yet, every cell within the body of Jesus cries out, love, love, love. Not a word of revenge, not a word of bitterness, not a word of anger. Every cell within Jesus cries out, love, love, forgive, forgive, forgive. And when you take on this body, this piece of bread, this body of Christ tonight, you are saying, Lord, I'm identifying with you. All those people who have hurt me, who have betrayed me, who has used me, who have caused unnecessary pain in my life, I will say, Lord, love. I will say, Lord, I forgive. I love. I choose to love. I choose to forgive. All those unfair treatments, all those cruel words spoken against me, when I partake this bread, I'm identifying with you. I choose to be like you. Don't take it in an unworthy manner. Don't say that I take this and yet I go back. I want to revenge. I want to be bitter. I want to be angry. Amen. Take this time, talk to Jesus. Tell him how much you appreciate what he did. Guess who was it that betrayed him? Guess who was it that caused all the cruel treatment? Guess who was it that put him on the cross? It was you, it was me. It was us, our betrayal, our unfaithfulness, our sins caused him to be put on the cross. But do you know what he said? It was not your sin. Yes, your sin caused me to die on the cross, but it was not your sin that held me on that cross that day. It was not your sin, it was not the nail. It was my love for you that I was hung on that cross. It wasn't the nail, it wasn't your sin. It was my love. I chose to lay my life for you. My brother, my sister, open your heart and receive his love tonight. Open your heart and receive his love tonight. He never say a word that you and I are not worthy to receive his love. He said, I die that you have my love. I die that you can receive this precious love. So this bread that you hold, this body of Christ that you hold, was the same body that suffered all injustice, pain, persecution, being spat upon. Every cell within Jesus cries out, love, forgive. Are you ready to partake this bread tonight? To partake his body tonight? And when you partake of this bread, this body, everything of Jesus, the DNA of Jesus, the cell of Jesus will now mingle with your cell, will now mingle with your DNA, will now bring healing, will now bring restoration, both in your spirit, in your soul, in your bodies. If you really receive this body worthily, in a manner that is worthy, you know this is not any common bread. This is the body of Christ. Take this time to ask God for his forgiveness. Many times we take this lightly. Many times we fail to learn to love. Ask God to forgive us. He is more than ready to forgive us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Let's break it together and remember what kind of body that you are receiving, you are eating today. Say thank you to him. Appreciate it as you partake it together. Hallelujah. Jesus also took the cup, lifted the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. You and I no longer are bound by flesh. We can choose now to die to self. We are living in a new covenant. We can become like Jesus. We can say no when the voices inside you say revenge, hatred, choose to be bitter, choose to let the past haunt you, rule you, control you, shape your future. Today, let it be a day you tell yourself, you tell your past, you tell those hurts, those pain, those bitterness, you tell them, you no longer have dominion over me. I'm part of the new covenant. I belong to Jesus. The old is gone. The new is come." Hallelujah. Are you willing to receive that? Give thanks to Jesus in your own words. Tell Jesus how much you appreciate the blood that was shed on the cross that day. Love him in your heart. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you love me so much. Thank you, Lord, I drink of your love tonight. Your intoxicating love. Your love that is better than wine. I drink it tonight. And all my fears will go away. All my worries will go away. All the pain, all the bitterness, all the hurts, all the past will disappear. From my memory, from my recollection, from my cell, from my DNA, every sickness must go in Jesus' name. For behold, the new is come. If you believe it tonight, my brother, my sister, it is yours. It is yours. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, come to me, drink." If you believe, out of your belly will flow rivers. It is unlimited. It can be a river of love. It can be a river of healing. It can be a river of restoration. It can be a river of reconciliation. It can be all different rivers will begin to flow from within you. If anyone thirsts, right now I want you to picture in your mind Jesus in front of you. You come to Jesus. Because Jesus himself said, "If anyone thirsts, come to me, drink." Tonight we drink this cup with Jesus. I want you to focus. I want you to feel, to know Jesus is right in front of you. Because he said, "If anyone thirsts, come to me." In your heart, you must say, "Lord, I thirst. Lord, I come to you." In your heart, you must thirst and long and you say, "I come to you." I give you a few moments to let the Holy Spirit to stir the longing inside you, to stir the hunger, the thirst inside you. Come, Holy Spirit, before we partake this cup, Lord, of the blood of the new covenant, I pray and I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I can do nothing, Lord. This is not something I can do. But this is something you can do, Lord. Stir the hunger. Stir the thirst. Begin to awaken your bride, O God. And they will draw near to you tonight, and they will drink from you. They will come to you, and they will drink from you. And from within the heart, within the spirit, will flow rivers of living water. Come on, people of God, in your heart, long for Him. In your heart, let the Holy Spirit draw you. You have a longing deep inside you. Let it spring forth. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are coming to Jesus. You are not coming to a man. If you come to Jesus, you will drink of Him. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's the blood of the new covenant. Blood speaks of life. Blood is where life is. This is life of the new covenant. You are accessing life from the age to come. The powers of the age to come. The life from heaven. If you believe it, if you can see it, it is yours. It is yours. Believe it, my brother. Believe it, my sister. It is yours. It is mine. It is mine. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. Do you know the woman who suffered for 12 years? She spoke to herself, "When I touch Him, I will be made whole." If you have that faith, you will say, "When I drink of Him, I will be made whole." Something inside you is stirring, and you say, "If I drink of Jesus, I will never be the same." Something will happen. We're going to sing this song together before we drink. I want you to prepare your heart, prepare your spirit. Something happened, and now I know He touched me, and He made me whole. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something